Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Chukas. I wanted to start with a couple of stories. The first story is a story you haven't heard. The story you haven't heard is, I was thinking about trying to put together stories, familiar and unfamiliar, for this week, and I had a moment of reflection, and that moment of reflection was that there are a lot of tzaddikim and gadolei Torah that we hear stories about rather frequently, and they kind of go in and go out of, you know, cycles of whose stories we're hearing a lot of, and they kind of make their rounds. And then there are certain tzaddikim and gadolei Torah that you hear very, very little about. And there could be a whole plentitude of reasons why we don't hear about them. It could just have to be with proliferation of information. But it could also be that it was one of two other things. One is that the real godless of many, probably most of the tzaddikim that ever walked planet Earth was done in a tzanua fashion. And it wasn't publicized, it wasn't run around, you know, in the story mill, it wasn't shared on, you know, public websites or anything else. It was something that it occurred, and the people who knew this particular tzaddik or tzaddikas would say, and maybe they would nod their head and say, oh, but at the end of the day, it would go unnoticed, and that's okay. It could be that they're real godless also, as a, you know, as a second possibility. A second possibility was that the real godless of this particular individual was not, you know, all these extraordinary maisim that occurred with them, or, you know, really amazing stories that show hashkacha pratis, or alternatively acts of extraordinary tzidkus, but that these people were living a keves echad tasev aboker, keves echad sheni tasev ben rabbayim kind of lifestyle, where it was their kind of uneventful days that really defined who they are, much like the vort is given by Yitzchak, that Yitzchak, we hear a lot less about his life because he was more of consistency and avoda and whatnot. And the third one is one which I think is not to be underestimated. And that that story line goes as follows. It's that we know that you can receive greater schar in most instances for a story that's not publicized, for something where you don't get any credit, nobody knows it's you. By tztuk, it's better that people don't know who's doing it. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, the Ribbono Shel Olam sees, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will sort everything out. And the most important thing is what you do. So it could be that one of the patterns of tzadkus is that we try to hide what we're doing. Indeed, the Chavos Levavos mentions this explicitly. People are medayik lo'olam yehe adam yehe yori shamayim b'seisir. A person should be yori shamayim in private, and because it's the privacy of what happens might be even more instructive. So I thought that that would be a good chizuk for us to open up that question and to try to handle it a little bit. So the story is, this one may be known, is about the daughter of the Leshem, Chayamusha. She, her eyes, they look like she had been crying, and her father, the Leshem, came to her and he said, my daughter, you know, you've been childless for 20 years. Why is it that you look so terrible, like you've been crying all day today? So the daughter responded, said that she went to a professor, and they said, you know, they took a look at her, and it didn't seem, he said, like there was really any chance for you to have any children. So it sounded like, everything was over, and, the daughter did not give up. She said that she went home and decided that she was going to put all of her koyach into davening. And she found a private place and davened for 3 straight hours. and she davened with real tears, and that's why she looked so terrible. And when he heard these words, the Leshem responded to her and said, "Ah, all those thousands of tefillos that you davened up in today, they are completely of a different substance than the one you did today, because before you had a little bit, maybe of an inkling in your heart that whatever the doctor does, this professor from Vienna might be able to have an effect on your life. But now your davening was from the bottom of your heart, knowing that you were only depending on a Kadosh Baruch Hu alone." And the child that she had, as the story connects the dots of the Zchus the Tzvila, was none other than the famed Rav Yashiv. So the next story is a story about a gentleman named Rav Nechemia. He was told by the doctor he had no choice but to do a certain operation in order to live and to address a grave medical condition that was facing him. And he went to Chazon Ish just to ask how to approach this. And the Chazon Ish said, "Look, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha the whole Torah. You need to go and have the operation." But before Rabbi Nechemia left the house, the Chazon Ish said, "Why don't you stick around and daven mincha in the minyan we have in our house?" And after Chazon Ish called over Rav Nechemia, and
he changed his mind. He said, the Chazon Ish called over Rav Nechemia. He said, "You don't need the operation." And Rav Nechemia said, "Well, hold on. Maybe half an hour ago, the Rav told me that I had an obligation to go into the operation and to take care of myself. And now you changed everything." And the Chazon Ish says, "This is not a contradiction. Before we daven mincha, it was one situation. After mincha, it's another." And the way the story goes is that it was totally, everything worked out fine. So what does it mean? It means that there's a koyach in tefillah. What can you take more than that? I'll leave that for you to decide. There's a story about the Imri, or it's a comment from the Imri Emes of Gur. He says, in Rashi, the word marim, when he says shimunah hamorim, now in the Divrei Torah, he says two different meanings. The first one is shotim, literally crazy people. And the second one is morim is morim. They try to teach their teachers. So why is it that Rashi gave two different pshats? So he explains based on Mishlei Chavav Yud Beis. He says, Ra'isa Ish Chacham Be'inav. You see the guy who's the smartest in the room. Tikva L'Ksil Mimenu. There is more hope for the fool than for him. So what does that mean? If a person sees themselves as the smartest guy in the room, then they're never going to listen to anybody, right? The Ksil, a fool, will listen to other people, right? He knows he has something to learn, but Chacham, they don't need to learn from anybody. So that way, really the understandings of what a mora is here are the same. One is if you have to teach your teachers, you feel like you're teaching your teachers. That means you see yourself as the smartest guy in the room. And the second one is that you're crazy, meaning to say that you can't learn from anybody. So a couple more. Vortlach is v'niram avad cheshbon adivon. This is a beautiful idea from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. He says as follows, v'niram avad cheshbon adivon chaf alef lamed. It says in his name that before Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, they had to kill the Melech Cheshbon. And there's a remez here that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you need to get rid of all your Cheshbonos that are based on the Olam HaTeva. You can't look to the natural world and try to make sense of Eretz Yisrael. All of the life and existence in Eretz Yisrael is Lamayla Min HaTeva. It is supernatural above nature. So there's no point in making a cheshbon about the natural world. And if that's true, then there is no melech cheshbon. So that's the idea that, like, you just need to have a fundamentally different perspective when looking at Eretz Yisrael. I was in conversation with somebody who's thinking about moving to Eretz Yisrael, and they're thinking, oh, I have this family member, and they're going to need these kinds of doctors, and they're going to, when they get older, they're going to need an American doctor, and then do they want to live among the Anglos, or do they want to be mixed in? And then, and at a certain point in time, yes, of course, it makes total sense to try to set somebody's self up for the greatest success there could possibly be. But on the other side, it makes no sense. We spend so many times trying to burning calories, trying to make sure that we can put a world into a little box, and the whole world doesn't work that way. Achas kama v'kama, Eretz Yisrael does not work. V'lama elisunu v'mitzrayim l'haviosanu l'makom haraza l'makom zera v'tein of gefen rimon umayim ein lishtos. This is in Chaf Hey. So this pasuk is really kind of hard, because first Klal Yisrael comes and they complain about the lack of water, and then they start talking about fruits and everything else. So the Magide Adoras say, look, this is the way that the world works. The way that the world works is that when somebody starts to complain, they can't stop. They start on one subject, they go to the next subject, they go to the next subject. As soon as they feel that little tingle of anger, it just, they can't stop. And that's obviously a extraordinarily difficult thing. Next, it says baragli avora, meaning they say that they're going to pass with on foot. So there's a beautiful remez, a Hasidic Shatera from the Yesod HaAvoda of Slonim. He says there is nothing in Avodas Hashem that's so precious and important than baragli avora. That means to conquer just one's custom. When you get accustomed to something, it's just so hard. I saw in one of the Rishonim, one of the Mefarshim, on, I believe, Koheles, he says that there's this thing called the Ma'asar HaHergel. It's literally the chains you're getting caged up by what you're used to. Obviously, we have a concept of Hergel Nasa Teva, the Gro in his famous Igeres, the Hergel or Kol Dover Shilton. He says you use getting accustomed things, that's part of chinuch and other things as well. It's like, it's a linchpin, but at the same time, just like it's one of our greatest tools, it could become one of our greatest weaknesses, and we need to use that to start building muscle memory and removing muscle memory in different directions. Okay, onto Akasha. It says in Chaf Aleph Lamed Daled, Yom Moshe, Yom Moshe, Al Tira Oso, do not fear him. Ki biyadcha nasati. Why? We're talking about Og. Says Rashi, Moshe should have worried about going to war. Shema ta'amod lo zechuso. Moshe was the zechuso shal Avram. By Avram, maybe there would be a zechus for Og. Shene amar v'yavo apalit. And that's Og. So that was all the way back in the war of the four kings and the five kings at the end. It says, but there's a problem, because in Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi says in Yud Dalet Yud Gimel, he says when Og came to tell Avram that Lot had been caught, his kavano was in order to entrap Avram Avinu. So how much of a zechus is that really? All right, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.